Our text for this morning's meditation is from Matthew chapter 4, these words, "But he answered, it is written." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're confronted with so many temptations on a daily basis, aren't we? Aren't we? Let's be honest. Sometimes our days can be spent seemingly yanking ourselves back in line with some sort of leash in the same way we would a young dog we were taking for a walk for the very first time. Dog dragging us down the sidewalk, going here, going there, barking, yelping, panting, doing all the things that such a young dog does. A dog on a leash has never gone for a walk before. Well, our old Adam, our old man, can be just like that dog on occasion. And we, the Christian, the new man, hold on for dear life. If we're dragged this way and that by one temptation after another. Traffic laws, schmaffic laws. There's no policeman around, sorry, Keith. More like suggestions, aren't they? Policies at work. Now, there for those who are not performing, not excelling, not of real value to the company like we are. Treatment of family members. We didn't ask for the brothers and sisters we grew up with. And who cares anyway, as long as whatever we do doesn't get us into trouble, doesn't matter if we're tempted. Doesn't matter if we're tempted, and it doesn't matter if we're thinking bad things, does it? Whatever happens in our hearts, whatever happens in our mind, whatever happens in our soul, it stays there. It stays in our hearts and souls and minds. Don't know if you caught what I did there. What I did was I modified that now commonly known slogan, probably overused slogan, "Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." You're familiar with that. Where'd that slogan come from anyway? I'm glad you asked. Turns out that back in 2003, an advertising firm came up with a slogan for the city of Las Vegas, a slogan which would convey the idea that Las Vegas was so much more than gambling. Las Vegas was a vacation destination of total freedom, or as one person put it, the slogan conveyed the idea that you can be anyone in Vegas. Your secrets will remain safe, and even the most respectable people can let loose in this city. When tempted by the devil, the world, and our flesh, we can again think the same way, right? Whatever happens in my heart, my mind, my soul, stays in my heart, in my mind and soul. But it doesn't, does it? It doesn't. For temptation to sin can lead to sin, and sin's not necessarily of deeds, sin's not necessarily of words, but sins of thought. Sins of thought, that's the topic of the sermon this morning. Sins of thought. And what do we do? What do we do with sins of thought? What do we do when temptation turns into sins of thought? Now here we can think of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, there in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 through 7, where Jesus pointed out that the inner world of man, the world of the heart and soul and mind, was actually where so much sin occurs. Sins of hatred, which break the fifth commandment. Sins of desire, which break the sixth commandment. Sins of jealousy, which break the ninth and tenth commandments. In other words, just because such ideas are floating around in our heads and are not expressed, not acted upon, doesn't mean they're of no consequence. Because, of course, God does know. God knows everything that we think. Everything. And in this regard, have you ever noticed how paranoid people are about their computers? Fearful that someone somewhere is watching what we're doing through the camera above the screen there, monitoring our website visits or reading our emails? How frightened are people nowadays that someone somewhere can gain access to our computer? Someone somewhere is watching us. So think our computer should be just like our hearts and our souls and our minds, and that is, our computer should be totally and completely and utterly private. And yet, such people don't pause to think about the fact that our hearts and souls and minds are not private. Not private at all. For what happens in our hearts and souls and minds is completely and totally known to our Father in heaven. You see, it's God. God's the one who's actually watching us. God knows not only what's going on our computers, what's going on inside of here. So Psalm 139, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. So what do we do? What can we do to get rid of such thoughts? To not fall to temptation by simply thinking the things we should not in our hearts and souls and minds. Well, the world has all sorts of ideas here, right? Ideas for a healthy frame of mind, it said. You know, there's exercise, the endorphins doing their job to make us think better things. There's sleep, the more the better, to get us started out each day with a good attitude. There's diet, avoiding sugars and caffeine and alcohol, which can send our thoughts this way and that. There's meditation. That is the attempt to get us to focus on one thing so we don't think about others. Hobbies could be mentioned here, travel, other activities. And all of those things, they work to a certain extent, don't they? They work to keep our minds from thinking about things we should not, but in reality, what we really need is that which Jesus used. Which Jesus used when tempted by the devil in the wilderness, tempted to sin. And what we need is the very word of God. It's written, is what Jesus responded to Satan. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Why is that? Why is it that we need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Well, it's because it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to shape and mold, that is, shape and mold us, that is, how we think. To shape and mold our hearts and our souls and our minds every day so that not only do we say and do the right things, but we think the right things as well. You know, when I was learning to speak the German language, I was 26 years old. I initially would think of something in English in my head, and then I'd try to translate it into German in my head, and then I would try to say it in German, and that was hard, and it was awkward. I always be making those translations in my head, but eventually, after like 3 years, I was thinking in German. And in thinking in German, I could speak more clearly in German. When my thoughts and ideas, my perceptions and ideals being shaped by the new vocabulary I had learned and the new grammar I was using and the new language. Well, as Christians, our vocabulary, our grammar that shapes our thoughts and ideas, our perceptions and ideals is none other than the very Word of God. The very Word of God expressed by Christ to Satan, the very Word of God by which we are to live if our minds and our hearts and souls are ever going to come into sync with our words and actions. And if our minds and hearts and souls are filled with the Word of God, shaping and molding us, our minds and our hearts and souls, they don't need to be a private space. A private space out of which we keep everyone, even God, so we think. Instead, our hearts, our minds, our souls can be like a fountain out of which flows streams of living water, the living water promised to the woman at the well by Jesus in the Gospel of John. And you know, it is Jesus, and it is in Jesus where that exactly is what happened. It's Luther who pointed out on many occasions occasions that Jesus was God, our loving Heavenly Father, sharing with us His heart, His very heart. That is, in Jesus, God was sharing with us His thoughts, what He was thinking. And it's in the crucifixion of Christ that it was hoped by the devil, no doubt, and the world even, that the thoughts of our loving Heavenly Father, His heart, would cease to be expressed. That with the death of Christ, we would no longer need to hear what God was thinking. But of course, that didn't happen. Being crucified for our sins of thought, our Lord and Savior Jesus was raised again from the dead for our justification, that is, so that our sins of thought could be and are forgiven daily, hourly, minute by minute, and a new spirit, a new heart, a new mind, a new soul could be given to us so that we might be at peace even now in our thoughts by bringing our old Adam, our old man, to heal with the very word of God. Remember as a kid watching some show about how to train a dog, and there was some British lady who'd show how to bring a dog to heel. And it didn't matter how bad the dog was on a chain with the owner. As soon as that lady took the chain and firmly commanded, heel, the dog would heel. No more pulling, no more barking, no more going here and there. Why? Well, that woman spoke as one with authority, and the dog's got it. When our old Adams, our old man, the sinful nature within us is trying to drag us down the street and our minds going this way and that, let's realize that although diet and sleep and exercise are all good practices, what we really need to do first and foremost is live by the Word of God. Wield the sword of the Spirit. Confront that temptation with clear and certain expressions. The Word of God, you shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. Resist the devil, the same Word of God tells us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James 4. But Pastor, it shouldn't be so hard. I shouldn't need to work at this. Well, who said so? Who said that resisting the devil should be easy? It certainly wasn't easy for Jesus in the wilderness. Let's not go there pulling out the God card and saying that after not having eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, Christ was really not tempted because he was God. For if it were so easy for Jesus, why then did angels need to come and minister to him? So we have what we need, right? Every word which proceeds from the mouth of God, we have that, the Bible, the Holy Spirit strengthening us daily through that word. The example of our Lord and Savior Jesus, but also the gift of our Lord and Savior who through faith would strengthen us so that we too can fight temptation, the temptation not only to say the thing we should not or do the thing we should not, but even to think the things we should not. So a nice summary then from our epistle reading. Let's hold fast to our confession of Christ, for in Christ we do not have one who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.